Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He is Blank. I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass. Tuesday edition to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Everything's happening at once. What, Brian?
Break. Well, you know what it is. We got breaking news on your end.
So I told you the breaking news, and then you hit the breaking news sounder.
Yeah, I gave you a chance to tell us the breaking news.
Can we not celebrate Taylor first?
No. That'll be later in the show.
No. Happy birthday to my daughter Taylor, who turns 10 today.
Jeez, 2 minutes in.
I mean, that's the second Taylor in the situation.
Wow. 2 minutes for a happy birthday. Not even 2 minutes, quite frankly. Yordan Alvarez, not only is in the lineup, but he's playing left field. Yordan Alvarez playing left field. Pencils down, 53-man roster.
Right now, stand up player right now.
Get to those, and lots going on, everything at once. The deadline for the 53-man roster, 3 o'clock. Joe Espada waits until 3:01 out of respect to Nick Caserio to reveal his lineup, which does include Yordan Alvarez for the first time in a long time. Here's the Astros 9. We'll get to the 53 in just a moment. Peña at short, Correa at third, Altuve the DH, Yordan in left, Christian Walker at first, Jesus Sanchez in right, Victor Caratini catches, Mauricio Dubon at second, and Jacob Melton in center field. The big fella's back. Another one, Jimmy Ward.
No, Nick Caserio's made a trade, shipping off Austin Deculus for a conditional 7th in a couple
years. That's not worth the drop.
For Austin
That's not worth the drop.
To the Chargers. Hey, the Chargers are desperate after Rashawn Slater was out for the year. They got Austin Deculus
You
now.
Played the breaking news drop for Austin Deculus?
That's pretty weak.
It just means more, baby. It's
and
football.
What are the conditions? If he plays in a game, you get our last pick?
It sounds like it, yeah.
You interrupted Yordan Alvarez talk for Austin Deculus? What do you think we are, 6'10"?
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe we should be more.
Austin Deculus interrupting Yordan Alvarez talk.
Rock and roll, Austin Deculus traded.
It's football time in Houston, and the Texans aren't ready to win, aren't ready to compete, they're ready to play.
And trade Austin Deculus.
I can't believe it. I mean, there were rumors about tackle news.
Yes, lots.
Sam Robinson among them. Didn't get traded, I guess.
Trent Brown.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to end up keeping him.
Practice.
Correct. That's the rumor. Who knows? I mean, what should we talk about first, Brian? The 53-man or Yordan Alvarez?
Deculus,
I mean, you interrupted
obviously.
Us with Austin Deculus.
Austin Deculus is breaking news.
He's topic A. IMO.
The capital A. Last time that Yordan Alvarez played was on May 2nd.
It's pretty crazy.
When was the last time Austin Deculus started for the
I can't talk baseball with this song on. I can't do it. I'm unable. This is a blind spot for me.
Riding the Austin Deculus.
I can talk football with that behind me. I can absolutely talk football with that behind me. For some reason, it must be a mental block. I don't know. I cannot talk about Yordan Alvarez.
All right, hold on. Let me fix it
with that
you.
Behind me.
Is that better?
No. That makes me think of Carl Ravage.
All right. Hold on.
No. That makes me think of AJ Brzezinski.
I got nothing for you then.
Where's the all systems go?
Somewhere. Hold on.
We need some all systems go. Then we can talk about Yordan Alvarez, baby. Are you surprised to see him in left?
I am. I am definitely surprised to see him in left. I mean, I thought, I forget who they were talking to, or maybe it was the Espada interview, and they were like, well, we're going to wait till Yordan gets to the ball field today to see how he feels before we decide if he's going to be in the lineup or not. It's like,
love this song so much.
You know he's going to be in the lineup. He's felt okay after every game in Corpus Christi. was there. I could see no reason why you would say that. Well, wait till he gets to the ballpark, see how he feels. Unless he's got indigestion, he's going to play. I just didn't think he's going to be in left field.
That's surprising to me. Maybe it's a smaller issue about Jose Altuve. No pun intended. My bad. That was accidental. I promise. That was accidental. It was not. It was not a serious pun. I guess it was serious, but it wasn't meant to be. You know the last time Jose Altuve played left? July 28th. Started it. They burned the DH one time. Do you like this lineup?
I think it's time for the game. I think it has a lot of potential.
Our destination is clear, and you can tell
today,
when we cheer.
Colorado, yeah,
Houston
like
is all systems go. Our Astros are on track with every crack of the bat. We love to hear that
like
whistle blow. All aboard for the ride. Bring your American pride. The on-track is ready to roll.
Our
Astros are on track with every crack of the bat.
We need the Cuban flag for
all systems go.
This is
I don't
the
know.
Colts guy?
This sounds like the Colts guy doing his Colts song.
No.
Well, I mean, we could hear him back to back here.
The Colts guy, how do
Ladies
I put this
and gentlemen,
kindly?
Welcome to Minute Maid Park.
I don't think you can put it kindly.
I can't put it kindly, so I'll just shut up. I mean, I don't think that this singer has anything wrong with him.
Tough. Take it further. Yeah. Take it further.
I'm going to leave it there.
Okay. Granato wouldn't leave it there. He'd go further.
Yeah, but he's got pelts on the wall.
Yeah, but you want to be Granato when you grow
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but I have to get there first.
Fair.
Yeah, I can't just start talking about, like...
You can't just start dropping bombs.
No. No. Again, I gotta, preserve. I got a family to feed. Show's off the rails. Jimmy Ward got put on... Commissioner's exemplar.
I saw that. Yeah, look, I think getting back to the lineup, though, the only thing that I would change is that I would put Altuve at second base if you're going to put Yordan in left field, and I would have a better bat in the lineup than Dubon.
Well, they want defense behind Hunter.
If you're behind Hunter, I get it. But
you need to stop, Brian.
You're acting like the
Colts fan right now. You're system overload here. Sensory overload. All systems
I'm excited,
go.
Man.
This
we
is too much.
We got an Austin Deculus trade. His second biggest story, Yordan's back.
I have ADHD, admittedly, self-diagnosed, and actually wife-diagnosed, and this is too much to handle right now. Yordan, Jimmy Ward, Austin Deculus, Sounders, Colts fan, Dubon, all systems go. I can't handle this.
Dubon.
It's a handsome fellow there, though. I can tell. almost feel like we should go to break.
It's almost time.
Regroup.
I don't think you've been the same since the breaking news of Austin Deculus.
It rattled
me. Time
me.
To absorb the information and really reflect upon it.
Absolutely rattled me. Here's the thing that I do love about the lineup, though. I absolutely love that the big fella, the big bopper, the Cuban sensation, the Cuban clobber, some have called him. I love that he's batting in the cleanup spot. Mm-hmm. The Cuban cleanup, man.
That's where you wanted him.
That's where I've wanted him. In my opinion, I understand the whole analytics thing. I know the numbers. I'm a nerd with the best of them. I've read Moneyball. I've read all the dirty
analytics
stuff. David Cutley and I, we've talked numbers before. We talk shop. I get that you want your best hitters getting the most at-bats. But in my opinion, Yordan Alvarez was put on this earth to do two things. Chew bubblegum and drive in runs. And he's all out of bubblegum, Yordan Alvarez. He had plenty of it while he was in Corpus rehabbing.
Thank you, Piper.
He was born to drive in runs. I think he's in the perfect spot.
Yeah, look, you've been lobbying for it for a long time. I was curious just how quickly they were going to put him, you know, somewhere where they were going to put him in the early going. And obviously it was going to be between 2, 3, and 4. And sitting at 4, it seems like the right move because the table could be really set for him. And one of the things you've always pointed out is the fact that you don't like him coming to bat with 2 outs and nobody on. So this gives you another guy in Altuve in front of him to get on to set the table for hopefully some damage that he can do and get back into the driver's seat for a guy that can really take you home in the last whatever 30 games of the season.
Like we knew this day was coming. right? We felt like this day was coming. We had the idea, and like, okay, maybe he could play in Camden. I'll be a Homer Simpson backing into the hedge there. Like you won 3 of 4 there. Yordan got his full rehab that you wanted to do, the ramp up, and then here he goes on a Tuesday. I'll soften the stance that I had about get Yordan to Camden. Maybe that was me panicking a little bit because of what the standings look like and the Astros weren't playing good baseball and the offense needed a spark. Cooler heads prevailed, and look, I think that they got it right. I think I was wrong there. I'll concede defeat there. And ultimately, he's back today for the first time. So we knew it was inevitable. We knew it was coming. We knew it was down the pike, but seeing him in the lineup, it feels different. Like, it's almost like it hits you like reality.
Yeah, but I think that's the key. I think the key, for all intents and purposes, is the fact that the reality is he's here. The expectations are where I think it gets a little dicey, because I think that there's too many people out there that are, like, dialed into the fact that he's just going to be the old Yordan. So that's what I'm interested to see, because I was really leery with these games in Corpus, like the back-to-back games. And then... you know, I think you were the one that brought it up, or someone brought it up to our attention that he got pulled late in the game after getting a couple of hits. I think it was Saturday. And it was like, well, is something wrong?
His work was done.
Have you just seen enough?
He was clocking out.
But you just don't know. Again, because of the fact that there's been so many medicals with him, I had a little bit of an uneasy feeling. Like, let's clarify that as quickly as possible, because I don't want to think that there's anything wrong. So the fact that he's back is one thing. Can he stay back? And then how frequently are they going to use him, because it's such a tight race, is also going to be really interesting.
Let's talk about that. What is the plan now that he is back? What are the expectations realistically with him? 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. We'll get to the Texans 53-man roster a little bit later. Made a splash today. That Willen Dillon son of a gun, Nick Caserio, making moves, trading Austin Deculus, who is going to cut anyways, for a condition. Seventh. We thought there would be a tackle traded today, and it was Austin Deculus. We'll get to that. Lots to get to. 713, giving away some U of H tickets a little bit later, too, which we all love those. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitter at ESPN975. We're on the TikTok at ESPN975 there as well. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. You can find me there. YouTube, ESPN Houston. Blankers on Twitter. I'm all over the place. Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN 92.5. You're in the market for a new vehicle? Listen up. Monument Chevrolet's the dealer you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to mess with you with pricing. They're not going to hassle you. That's always stressful when you go to buy a new vehicle. You're like, are they pulling a fast one on me? Are they upcharging me? Is this a warranty that I actually need? What is this XYZ warranty? I don't think I need it, but you never really know. Well, Monument Chevrolet isn't going to do any of that funny business with you, because you can trust them. And they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles too, and these families just keep coming back because they trust Monument Chevrolet. The people there are fantastic, family feel, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a great culture, and it's why they've been in business for 5 decades. Plus, they have unbelievable prices. Labor Day just around the corner, but not too early to get these Labor Day savings at Monument Chevrolet. Monumental savings, employee pricing plus deep discounts on popular models such as the Chevy Silverado 1500, the Blazer EV, and more. The more I'm talking about, how about the Malibu, which you can get right now for 1.9% APR for 36 months. Look, I was a math major for a semester. I had to get out of it, but I can figure out that math. That's 3 years at 1.9% APR for the economic and stylish Malibu. So get your hands on the Malibu. Get your hands on the Silverado 1500. Get your hands on the Blazer EV. Head to MonumentChevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory, Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Get a fair deal and a fast deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations. Visit them in person as well at Beltway 8 and 225 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what are the expectations for Yordan? 713-780-ESPN. What are your expectations for the Cuban cleanup man?
I just think I'm going to be as realistic as possible. I don't expect him to come in and carry this ball club. I expect that if his hands are healthy, that he is going to get into a guy that belongs in the middle of the lineup, that's going to be making solid contact, that's going to do the things average-wise and power-wise that this team has been sorely missing. And I think that he will blend. I don't think that he will dominate. I think it's going to take some time for that. So I think it's going to be more of him blending in as they kind of also are probably going to watch hit, you know, how many games and innings and at-bats he gets to. But I just think that it's unfair to expect that he's going to dominate right away. I think he'll blend in the early going, and then eventually, hopefully, we see the old Yordan.
Have we seen any of that where people are expecting him to come in and dominate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Mark DeRosa, for one, on MLB Network today, came in and said, our guys are tired. I mean, he's looking for a leader in the clubhouse, but he basically said, one of the guys in the locker room has to step up and say, our guys are tired. It's time, big fella. We're going to all jump on your shoulders, and you got to carry us the rest of the way.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's unfair expectation. Maybe it's like a national I don't know. I'm not expecting Yordan to come in and be like one of the top five hitters in baseball. My goal with Yordan is that by the playoffs, he's 90% of what we expect Yordan to be. That's my expectation. My expectation isn't for him to be like the dude that's going to flirt with a 1,000 OPS. But I do think he's today, right now, even before the ramp up, seeing major league hitting, I think he's your top five offensive player. Like it's a massive improvement, even if he's just your fifth best offensive player the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, you hope that everything with his slow start this year was completely unadulterated, all about his hand. And it wasn't right, and it wasn't comfortable, and that's why he was hitting 210. So hopefully that's all behind him now. He gets back to being the old Yordan, and I expect it's going to take a little time to get back to used to major league pitching and settle back in as well. So I think that it's exciting to know that, again, you're getting a guy with his potential offensively to join a lineup that has been kind of been patchwork all season long. And a lot of the other guys are starting to pick it up. We know Walker's been hitting. We know Yiner's been hitting. You know that Caratini's done way more than I think anybody should have expected from him. So I think that because Correa has been such a good fit and the top three are so good, you have the potential to really kind of get a nice little kickstart down the stretch.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, I'm not expecting to be a 1,000 OPS guy. I'm expecting to be one of your top five offensive players and be a threat in this lineup, though. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he comes in and he's like, okay, yeah, here's a home run, Yordan. Because he does kind of have a flair for the dramatic. I remember there was one return. I think it might have been the year where he needed the double leg amputation, the double knee surgery. I think he came back after missing some games, hit a home run, played in one more game, and then was like out the rest of the year. I want to say it was that season. I think he homered in his big league debut. Like he's homered obviously big time in the playoffs. So it wouldn't shock me if he homers today.
Well, wasn't the one when he was in Chicago? The team was in Chicago. He was back. Mm-hmm. He took Crane's plane. I think he flew day of game.
Yep.
And he hit a bomb.
Yep.
And I don't know if he stayed healthy the rest of the year after that.
Yeah, I think he did. I think that was like in the last 2 to 3 years, which have been relatively healthy for him. But yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. It's a big deal for Yordan. Now, how would you handle him? 30-something games left. What would be the plan? Just kind of a generic plan for Yordan for you.
I think differently than they're handling him tonight.
Pardon the handling part. That's my bad.
I think that I would avoid playing him in left field unless I had to.
Yeah. See, I wonder if this is a bigger thing on Altuve. Like, he has not started in left field since July 28th. It's nearly a month. The only time he's had an appearance in left field was an extra inning game where they burned the DH, and he moved to left. So I'm wondering if it's an Altuve thing.
No, I mean, maybe it is, because I think what we saw recently is we know that he can be speedy. We know that he's got some speed and athleticism, but the throwing arm is not good. The fact that, you know, defensively him chasing down the fly balls seems like it gets a little dicey at times. And we've also seen him make some good plays, but maybe it is a bigger issue that they don't want to play him out there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of caught my attention. My plan, like, I don't love Yordan playing defense. Yordan rules exist for a reason. Like, you're trying to protect Yordan from getting hurt, all those things. How much help is it, really? I don't know. Like, all of his injuries usually happen when he's not playing defense. There are, like, other reasons. Him swinging a bat, things like that. I don't mind it as much with a stretch drive. Like, you know, if this was June and July, do I want to see Yordan in left field much? No. Like, once or twice a week tops. And look, maybe that's still the plan. But I don't think that you should be playing Yordan three consecutive games. I think it's back-to-back games, day off. Back-to-back games, day off. Back-to-back games, day off. I wouldn't play him three games in a row, maybe for the rest of the regular season.
See, that's where I would probably take issue, is simply because of the fact that you're in the middle of this super tight race down the stretch with Seattle, and that changes everything. So I'm totally with you. If you can give him play two, sit one, that'd be a great schedule for him. But I think that if it gets, you know, tighter than it already is at a game and a half, and you're really kind of squeezing every last bit of juice out of that orange to try and get to the finish line, I think that it's pretty realistic to think they're going to push him till the end of the season and not give him as many days off.
I think it'd be a little foolish. To me, the AL West race isn't that big a deal. Like, I would it be better to win it than to lose it, of course. But I'm looking at just getting in more than anything else. And your lead right now is 5.5. Is that right? 5.5 games on Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, like, you have a 5.5 game cushion on KC. Like, winning the division isn't going to, like, force me to push the gas on Yordan and play him more than you'd be comfortable playing with him when you still have a comfortable lead on that, on the playoffs. Like, you have a comfortable lead on the first team that's currently out of the playoffs. The division isn't vital to me. I don't care that much about a 3-seed, 4-seed. Like, if I had to lose the division and get the 4-seed because I sit Yordan every third game, if that costs me the division, but I'm still the, you know, the top wild card, then I'm doing that.
Yeah, I think I should have probably said more than so than just Seattle in the division too, is the fact that as long as you stay with a comfortable lead to get into the playoffs, it matters. But at the same time, everything you hear from them is that, you know, that they want to check off these goals, they want to win the division, and matchups matter too. So I think that as you go down the stretch, that's what I'm saying, as you're weighing everything that's kind of on their plate, it's going to be, you know, where do you want to be? Make sure you're first and foremost, make sure you're in. I think that they would like to win the division, but at the same time, you want to be as healthy as you can be when that first postseason game starts, because you hit the reset button on wins and losses and everything matters, and you need your best nine out there and your best pitching set.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't just be hell bent on winning the division at the expense of, like, riding my guys into the ground.
Yeah. If you could win the division and it meant one of the top two seeds, it'd be a different story.
Different story. And the Astros right now are pretty far back in that. They're four and a half back. So they're right in the middle of the two seed and missing the playoffs entirely. I'm good not playing Yordan three games in a row. You need them in the postseason. You look like you're going to be a postseason team. You have a comfortable-ish lead on the playoffs. 4.5 isn't, you know, it's not 10, but 4.5 is, like, I think people are too caught up in the division race, quite frankly. Oh, no, Seattle's a game and a half back. Okay, you're a 4-seed. Like, okay. You're like the Red Sox and the Yankees right now, there's a half game difference. So the difference between a 3 and a 4-seed, we have no idea how much it's going to matter, if at all. Like, who would you rather play, Boston or New York?
I'd probably rather play the Yankees.
I think so too. I think the Astros are the Yankees' daddies. Red Sox kind of gave you some trouble this year when you played them, especially at their place. Now, if you're a 3 or 4 seed, you have home field advantage in the wild card round regardless. So, like, if the Yankees jump the Red Sox and the Yankees are now the top wild card or the second wild card, you would want to lose the division to have your optimal wild card matchup.
Yeah. I think you do want to be smart in terms of looking at it down the stretch too. Like, if it is within a half game or it's tight, then you adjust accordingly, because I'm sure there are teams like you just talked about that you'd rather play. And there's teams you want to stay away from. And if you can stay away until you get into a longer series playing some of the top teams, then so be it. I think that's the ideal situation for them. And a team like that they can dominate would be ideal, because last year you got two and barbecued, and that was ugly.
Yeah, that's it will be very intriguing to see how they handle him. But I feel like we're overrating the divisional race. I really do. Like, I don't see the difference between a 3 and a 4 seed. You're right. Like, if it was a top two spot, much, much differently. But 3 seed, 4 seed, the Yankees and the Red Sox are a half game difference. You don't even know which one is going to be higher than the other. If you rather play the Yankees and the Yankees jump the Red Sox, you want Seattle to overtake you. Now, I do think home field advantage matters there. I know you were 2-Q last year at the Dyke, but I'd rather play 2 games at the Dyke rather than 2 games at Fenway, 2 games in New York, 2 games in Seattle. Well, that wouldn't be the case if Seattle overtakes you. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRP.
Nathan Eovaldi out for the year.
Wow.
The Rangers have just announced.
They say what? With what?
It's a shoulder cuff strain. Let me pull up the...
Strained rotator cuff.
Yeah, yeah. Rotator cuff strain, yeah. Apparently the Rangers GM, Chris Young, just announced.
Hopefully for him.
According to Nightingale.
And hopefully for the Rangers, not more than that. Because if that's labrum at his age...
And he's already had, I believe... Did he have Tommy John 2 years ago?
I think he's had a couple of things.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's had multiple medical things that required surgery.
That's a rough one there. I like Eovaldi. He's a really good pitcher. I know he's not always said great things about the Astros, but from Alvin, he's so good. He is so good. That's a tough one there.
I think they've faded enough.
I mean, they're 5.5 out of the playoffs. They're not, mathematically eliminated.
They're done now.
Yeah. It does feel like the nail in the coffin.
Hairline fracture, a fracture in his foot. He's done for the year. Now you lose Eovaldi. I think it's fold up your tents time.
I think it's fold up. Now they're going to start just releasing all these players to try to shed money.
There's been a lot of talk about them and a couple of other teams doing that.
I know. I've been looking. Andrew Heaney got DFA today, but he's not good. he's no longer good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Hive has some thoughts on this Yordan thing. They're challenging us on some things. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Before you know it, basketball season is going to be here. We all love some basketball. The weather is going to be cooling down a little bit too. You're going to be wishing that you had a goal from Pro Dunk. So just get it now. Get it now. That way when the weather cools down, you got it. Get it now so when your kids are ready to play some basketball, you got it. Pro Dunk makes the highest quality basketball goals on the market. Unlike anything at the big box stores, don't waste your time doing that. Tempered glass backboard from the goals at Pro Dunk. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust proof. Must have. Height adjustable anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. And there's a breakaway rim so you can dunk, hang on it, keep you safe. It's awesome. Their new goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, fun to do, easy to do. You can get anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. That lightning adjust feature is a game changer. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play. You're at work, kids are at school, you can only play when the sun goes down. I get it. Get the LED light kits. That way you can play when the sun goes down. Backstop nets. Don't waste all your time chasing after the basketball. Get a backstop net. It's going to cut down that time a lot. Pole pad lettering and lots, lots more. And you can order all of this online at ProDunk.com, including professional installation. That's right. The pros at ProDunk professionally install your goal. Perfect height, perfectly straight. You're not going to mess it up because you're not going to be doing it. The pros are. You don't install. Let the pros at ProDunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, or visit them online at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, Yordan's back. Liam Spott, left field.
He's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
Over at the dike. He's no longer at La Playa. He's back. La Playa's coming to him.
I mean, it's only an hour away.
La Playa's coming to him on Friday. L.A. will be in town. All right, text line 713-780-ESPN. For the sake of how the Astros perform at home, I would not mind if we fall second place in the division. Did you just say home field advantage for the Astros? I feel like we should be rooting for not home field advantage for the Astros. Astros have been better at home this year than on the road. Now, playoff past, Astros have had multiple series where they've lost every single home game. They were swept last year at home by the Tigers in the wild card round. Would you rather the Astros play at home in the wild card round or on the road in the wild card round?
I'm still going to take it home. I don't like some of the scenarios if you got to go into New York, into Boston. I think Detroit's going to be raucous, and I think it's going to be cold.
You wouldn't play there in the wild card
round. You really fear playing at the Yankees? I don't fear playing at
the Yankees. I don't fear playing at Yankee Stadium either. Fenway's a different story. Fenway's
a little different, but the Yankees bring it on, especially with Altuve. I think that powers Altuve up.
Yeah.
Would you rather play Yankee Stadium or the Dike, though?
Yankee Stadium.
I'd rather play the Dike.
I would rather play at home. I would rather have, the climate controlled, weather's on your side, and you've got some guys, and they've had so many injuries already that I'd rather live with that and have the crowd behind you than deal with all of the elements and the raucous situation on the road.
Yeah, I'd rather play at home. Like, I'd rather play at home.
I mean, the weather conditions are the same for both teams. I'm not really that worried about that part of it.
They get used to it playing on the East Coast way more so than a team playing in Houston.
I think we overrate that a little, but given my druthers, I'd rather have the climate control.
I might just have PTSD from the Rangers and the Nationals and the Tigers. There's just been so many playoff series in this golden era outside of when they actually won the World Series that they've just been dominated at home.
So are you saying road?
Yeah. Well, specifically in the Yankees case, yes. I wouldn't want to go to Boston, but Yankees, I'd rather play it on the road.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather go at home, but Yankee Stadium doesn't put any fear
in my
heart.
At all.
Fenway's different for me. 713-780-ESPN. Would you rather play at the Dyke or Seattle? Because that would be in play too.
Dyke.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think you're overlooking the fact that the weather right now in the Midwest and the East Coast is good right now. When we get into the first week in October, it can drop 50s and then at night drop lower than that to where you are dealing with some chilly temperatures.
Sure. I just don't know if the chilly temperatures like are a huge advantage for Yankees versus the Astros. Like I don't put a whole lot of credence in that.
I mean, they won game six in Boston in 2021. Obviously in 2022, they swept both games at Yankee Stadium in the playoffs. Like I know there's been roster turnover, mm-hmm. but I just don't think it is an impediment that you can't overcome.
Phillies, I'm not saying you can't overcome it. I just think it's not ideal when you got guys that have come off or that are coming off Tommy John, guys that have had, arm issues.
Well, Yankees have had that too.
Okay. But I'm just saying, I ideally think that pitchers, especially after coming off surgery and stuff, would rather have a warm climate than
sure.
deal with cold weather.
Yeah, but both teams have had pitchers coming off surgery.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. I think Jordan should get as many starts as possible to make sure he's warm for the playoffs. He's obviously feeling great if Espada puts him in left field. Yeah, at the same time, you don't want to overdo it. Like, this is, why did he miss so many games? He missed so many games because he had a hand injury because he was swinging the bat a lot. So, you don't want to overdo it with Jordan. I disagree with you. I think give him a week or two and he won't be able to play three games in a row. My goodness, he's had half the season off. So I guess he would be on the side of two games on, one day off. What if he strikes out six or eight times in those two games back-to-back? Well, then you deal with it.
You deal with it.
you ride it out.
At this point, that's all you can do is deal
with it. You're letting it ride on Jordan
Alvarez.
Does
his hand hurt?
I don't care if he's 0 for the rest of the regular season. He's my cleanup hitter whenever the playoffs come around.
Yeah, if his hand doesn't hurt, then you'll deal with it and move on.
Ocho says the best part of this lineup is that Yiner isn't in it, especially back-to-back with Christian Walker, Ocho. I don't love that Yiner isn't in it for two reasons. One, he took a fastball to his wrist the other day.
Oh, God, now, that was scary.
Yeah. Now, they announced roster moves today, and Yiner wasn't, put on the injured list. They did send down John Rooney to the injured list, left elbow inflammation. I think he's doing a job for the Astros. Because Rooney went down to the IL, that means you could bring back A.J. Blueball for free. He's not restricted by the days in the minor leagues after being demoted. So he replaces the injured list guy, which is awesome. So Blueball is back for Rooney. So that's news there. But they also said that Myers is starting a rehab assignment tomorrow in AAA.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that's good news there as well. What was I talking about? Oh, and the other thing. If Yiner's not playing today, that means he's probably playing tomorrow. And I wanted Caratini to catch Fromber.
That's right, you did. Yeah.
So I don't like it from that perspective either.
Not that it's probably too little too late, but I see that Zach DeCenzo is actually finally starting a game in Sugarland tonight. Mm-hmm. So he's disappeared for months, but let's see if he's got anything that they could possibly use. I doubt it, but he might be better than some of the guys you got right now.
Cam?
Chaz?
Different. Chaz plays center.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I'm expecting Myers to
be. And he's your mop-up guy. he's a two-way player, Chaz.
From a hitting perspective, better than Cam right now, yes.
Yeah. Chaz is still the backup center fielder on this team. He's actually your starting center fielder against lefties. So, I don't think DeCenzo's a Chaz replacement. I don't think DeCenzo is going to – I don't think we see DeCenzo on the big league team the rest of the year.
No, probably not. But I'm saying you think Melton goes down when Jake comes up?
It depends on when Jake comes up. If Jake comes up in 3 days, I hope it's Cam. I hope it's Cam. Because I want to buy the extra year of Cam. Now, they're running out of time. Like, they have a week left to do this. Otherwise, they can't do it. So, it depends on when Myers comes back. If Myers comes back this week, I hope it's Cam. Once Myers comes, if it's beyond this week, it's probably Melton, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then Myers is your everyday center fielder. You know, Chaz will be a backup outfielder. Yeah. Texter, fresh legs, hand injury, so his legs have been resting all season, probably. Funny Altuve is all of a sudden a liability. He's not all of a sudden a liability. Jose Altuve's defense at second base was such a liability that they literally changed his positions. So that's not a sudden thing. That is a thing that they've been worried about for almost a year now.
Yep. Yep. I mean, look, we fans probably don't want to. They didn't want to come to this crossroads. They didn't realize that it was as serious as it was, but the organization identified the fact that they know that they have the two guys at the top of their rotation are ground ball pitchers, and his arm is a wet noodle, and he's lost his range, and he's not very good defensively.
I'd rather see Altuve at second, Doobie in center, Yiner the DH. Yiner might just be getting a day for the wrist thing. Doobie in center over Melton's. I hear you. I think Melton's a better defender than Doobie.
Yeah, I think in terms center. Of just pure speed out in the outfield.
Melton can't hit a lick. No. Admittedly, but he can go in center.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, speed in the outfield, that's what I was saying. I really believe he can cover more ground. He's a better defensive outfielder overall, I think, than Dubon. But, yeah, from an offensive perspective, as bad as Dubon was over the weekend, he wasn't Jacob Melton.
Who loses their job if Jordan gets hurt in the field? I don't know. This medical staff, I think, has bad pictures of Jim Crane. Like, they know where the bodies are hidden because they've kept their job with all these other injuries. So, I don't know if anybody would. Over, under, how many innings does Jordan play before getting hurt again? You're banned!
That sucks.
You're banned, yeah, Texter. You're banned for the rest of the show. You're not allowed to text for the remainder of the program. You're banned.
Yeah, don't put that on us. I mean, we've waited this long and endured this much pain, literally, with all the things that he was going through. You get him back now, and he could be a huge shot in the arm, and you're worried about a shot in the hand? No.
Y'all talk about others being soft. Y'all so soft right now, talking about October weather in the Northeast. Charmin softies. It's early October. The weather's fine, soft boys.
Thanks. I mean,
Branham will argue with a wall no matter what. Weather 100% is a factor, Branham, common sense. Well, two different sides of the token there. That's what you get on the Killer B text line. You get one calling me, I'll argue with a wall, you're an idiot. And then you get the other one calling Blankers a soft boy. That's what I love about you guys. That's what I love about the Hive.
I mean, you talk to any pitchers that have dealt with arm injuries, they don't want to pitch in anything cold.
I don't disagree with you there, but I think you're like only looking at the Astros having injuries. Other teams have injuries too.
Yeah. I mean, heal for the Yankees. I don't know who else they're going to try and bring back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that familiar with them. I know Hill is the one that I definitely thought of whenever I thought of it. Do y'all like each other? I love Blankers. I love everybody, though. I love people.
And talk.
I don't want to speak for Blankers. Yeah. What?
You love talking to them instead of texting.
I mean, I'll talk to people. I have no problem talking to people.
People say you're personable.
I'm usually not the one that starts the conversation, but if you engage me in a conversation, I'm not going to stonewall you. But yeah, let's chit-chat.
You might give short answers to encourage the conversation ending.
Depends on the setting. Depends on the setting. You know, if I'm getting ready to do something, I don't want to engage in conversation. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I've never thought you were very gabby in the bullpen before the show.
No, well, that's a little bit different because I don't like throwing live bullets.
Yeah, I know. You want to save it for the show.
Yeah, I hate talking pre-show during breaks because why would you? It's sports talk. Like, why would you give away the good stuff for nothing?
I would think that the time that you have to be hyper-focused where you don't like talking is prepping right before a game.
Agreed. That's oftentimes the most visits I get.
Is that right?
At home games, yeah.
Because you're not working. You're working where visible and because you're access on the court.
Especially at home. Especially
because
of
who you're sitting next to?
Partly, yes. Yeah. Some of it, it depends. But that does play a factor. Yeah.
We used to deal with the same stuff, but the problem was even not being on the court when they moved us up. The fact that people had access from the club level as well, and suddenly it was just an arm on the shoulder or a tap or a, and with no regard for what you were doing.
Right. No, I mean, you learn. You mean you just deal with it, and you know it's coming. So like, you just don't don't account for that time to be about work at all. It's more about your social hour, which you learn to, you kind of learn to do that. On the road, it's much different. You don't really get that on the road. All right, 713-780-ESPN, any possible pickups for DFA players? I've been keeping my eye on it. There hasn't really been anybody that's intrigued me. Is it possible that it could happen? Yeah. Now, the time's running out, though, because if you don't get them before September 1st, they can't even be on the playoff roster. They can just help you the rest of the regular season. So, it might be too late. Might be too late because they release a guy. They're out there for 48 hours. You have to bring them in, activate them, put them on the roster. Like, you got about a day or two left.
Yeah, all I saw was Heaney and Cleveland's first baseman and Encarnacion. Santana. Yeah, Santana. So, yeah, I haven't seen enough for me to say the Astros should go get that guy. He's better than what they have.
No. I'm like, every time it happens, like, I check in. I'm like, are these guys any good? And then I'm like, oh, no, they're not any good. So, all right. 7-1. I was hoping for Verlander to happen.
And yeah, I was going to say, JV, as much as his brother's been lobbying for, as good as he's been to give him a chance, I don't think they're going to give him a chance to go somewhere else.
Doesn't look like it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line, 713-780-3776. NFL rosters down to 53. What has surprised you for the Houston Texans? We're not talking that splash move like Austin Deculus. 713, there's no party like an Austin Deculus party. Might be true. He is from LSU. 713-780-3776. What are those cut-down surprises for you? It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you all about the new Walmart. You know Walmart when you go into the store. You knew the fact that every time you went into a Walmart, you would get low prices, you would get tons of selection, and you would get a great place to shop for not only just other things like clothing and toys for the kids, and maybe you get your pharmaceuticals and your prescriptions there. But with the groceries connected right there too, you could do your grocery shopping as well, and now it's getting even better. The old Walmart you thought you knew is now brand new, and who knew Walmart.com could be the answer for you and your family? That's right. Walmart.com has more than a half a billion items online, and you can find a huge selection of items, a lot of which you can't find in the store. And I know this from personal experience. There are times when, because you've got the family and you've got different schedules and everybody's running around in different directions, it's really tough to kind of just gather everything and get over to the store, waste time shopping. Then you get back in the car and you got to fight traffic to get home. Now Walmart.com delivers to your door for the same prices that you would pay in store at a grocery store. That's phenomenal, because now you don't have to do all those things that waste time that I just mentioned, and you can do other things while you're getting your groceries delivered right to your front door. When it comes to feeding your family, maybe hosting a tailgate party. Like I said, if there's a party going on and you forgot to get a gift, now you can get it delivered to the door, and you don't have to run to the store to get it. It's absolutely fantastic, and Walmart has all your grocery needs as well. If you didn't know, Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour as well. You can find out that they can do that too. Fees and terms do apply. But at the same time, if you need the actually high-speed version where you need it kind of pronto delivered to the door, costs a little bit more, but they can do it from groceries to home goods to prescriptions. It's all subject to availability, but you can learn all about it at Walmart.com. The Walmart that you thought you knew is now brand new thanks to Walmart.com. And who knew it can be a huge benefit for you? Check them out today. Go to Walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
And what's been your biggest surprise? Texans trimming their roster down to 53. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. I saw the Panthers tweeted out their 53 like at 2 o'clock, like an hour before the deadline.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
And they cut, what's his name, the slot receiver that was making a comeback that was really good for the Raiders.
Yeah, you're thinking of Winfrey.
Yeah, Hunter Renfrow. Yeah,
he's going to have to go back to waste management or whatever it was.
Well, they're already talking because of the Raiders wide receiver situation that the Raiders might be in play to bring him back.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet that. I don't know.
I think he'd already be there if he was in play for that.
Yeah, that Raiders receiver situation is different. I thought a little bit more about like the move to bring in. I'm blanking on his name. Yesterday, the veteran, the Raiders.
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper. the move to sign Amari Cooper and then the Jacoby Myers thing, maybe it is more related than I let on yesterday.
I thought it was.
Maybe, but I think that it was probably in the works. Like, it's not something that you're just immediately doing. It's something that has been, like, underlying in the works for, like, a week or two. And then all of a sudden it comes to a head, and then finally we see it publicly when it comes to a head. So I do think that they could be related, but I do think that it wasn't new yesterday. Something that they had been working on. I'm very intrigued by the Jacoby Myers stuff. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Texans stuff, anything that has stood out to you? Texans are radio silent with their 53-man. Had to be done by 3 o'clock. They have not released any information. They have not said who the cuts are. All that we're working on are reports. Aaron Wilson, who's right most of the time. Jonathan Alexander's been on it. Our guy DJ Bieniemy's been on it. What has surprised you with the reported cuts we have seen?
Well, I mean, we had talked about the offensive line. And aside from the breaking news to start the show, I think the fact that when you were watching what they were going to do, Trent Brown hadn't practiced the entire camp. So it makes sense that you don't have to protect him, and that if he wants to hang around and they've got some kind of a wink, wink, handshake deal where maybe he can help later on, then you've got a little insurance policy. But Cam Robinson was a guy you and I talked about yesterday that I just didn't know if they had a place for. And maybe, you know, then Schefter comes out and says that they're exploring trade possibilities. And if they couldn't find anything for him, I think he's a better insurance policy, knowing that he played last year, that if something goes wrong or an injury happens, that you've got a guy that's played, you know, the position to be able to come in at left tackle or maybe other places. The secondary is interesting to me because of the fact that, you know, they thought Yeast in the short term was going to be a guy that was going to get some snaps, and he was going to be a guy that could help out. And they shut him down early in the Lions game, thinking that he was going to make the squad. He didn't make the team. And then you look at Mollett, who they brought in, to basically be a potential backup and or insurance policy or a third defensive back. They cut him, Miles Bryant. They cut Ross and Arnett. So,
Too much meth.
I understand that they've got three guys that they really like in Stingley, Lassiter, and Smith. I'm just curious if something's not in the works in the secondary for them.
Feels
to bring
like
in
there
a
is, because they're down to four corners total. Yep. That feels like we cut an extra one because we plan to add somebody that gets cut from another team.
The four corners, too. They would be what? Stingley, Lassiter, Smith. Jalen Smith, who I think is more of a nickel. So they're down to those three?
I'm not sure. Jonathan Alexander just said that they were down to four.
I didn't, because he's not. I mean, I know he plays nickel corner. Mm-hmm. I don't view him as a corner, though.
Right.
Like, he's never going to play boundary corner.
He's never going to play outside. No.
Yeah. So, like, I almost look at those positions entirely different. Like, there's players that can do both. Like, I think Lassiter would be great at both. I was reading some reports that Lassiter's playing a little inside on some dime packages, which intrigues me. Jalen Smith, I think, is a guy who can play both. I think he's better inside than he is outside. We'll see. I think the one thing, and look, maybe they can bring in a corner that gets cut, all that stuff. I do think that they like Jalen Smith, though.
They like him a lot.
I think that's what we've, like, what my read is of the situation in the secondary.
I think by midseason, he's going to be on the field a lot. Hopefully not because he has to.
I mean, I have a hard time envisioning a path to him on the field if there's not injury.
Well, I was going to say, I hope there's not an injury, but they have just, from everybody I've talked to, they loved everything he's done at camp. They think that with some seasoning, once you get into the regular season, that there could be a spot for him by midseason.
What's the path
to play?
Though? Like, I mean, your three corners are locked.
I mean, maybe he gets some time inside. I don't know. But,
and they're sitting Petrie?
No, but I'm saying, you know, we know Petrie sometimes struggles in coverage.
Yeah.
That he can get on the field.
I have a hard time seeing Petrie, who at the time they paid top nickel money to, sitting for a rookie. Like, I have a very difficult time seeing that.
First of all, he's in their long-term plan. Second of all, I wouldn't be surprised if he sees the field from the midseason point, being on the field. I don't know how frequently, but I think that they like him enough that they would like to find a way that there's a path where he plays.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing it without injury. Now, maybe some, like, dime packages, but, I mean, I think he's a nice depth piece. Sounded like Mike Tyson there for a second. And we do know that injuries happen. Like, injuries happen. There's a very good chance that your backups are going to play in the NFL. Injuries happen a lot. I was surprised by the Jacob Johnson news. I did not expect that to happen, which is probably good news for our guy.
Well, he made it. Yeah.
Probably not official.
People reporting for
our guy.
Yeah, Jonathan Alexander said British Brooks made the team.
There you go.
I mean, not officially official, but he's reporting that British Brooks made the team.
Our guy. Our guy beating out Jacob Johnson, a veteran that they brought in, veteran that they like.
Hit him with the power slam, got the 1-2-3.
British Bulldog stealing his job, man. unbelievable. He looked like Raja. Raja Jackson coming in there and stealing his job.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that thought that British was a casualty because of bringing in Johnson, and it didn't work out that way.
It's kind of crazy. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Any other things stood out to you guys?
Not much.
I wonder if they're going to look into a tight end. I wonder if they might be in the market for a tight end. Wilson reported that Irv Smith could potentially start the season on the IL. They traded for Harrison Bryant. He would be, I mean, he'd be your three right now. Like, I know, like, they drafted Luke Lachey, but he was a late round draft pick. You'd probably hide him on the practice squad. I wonder if they're going to be in the tight end market. There were some interesting names in the tight end market a little bit. What's the dude's name that was in Dulcich? The Dulcich guy that Denver drafted, he was with the Giants in their camp. They released him today. Very injury prone. He's injured all the time, but he's a talented player.
People thought a lot of him there. Coming out of the
Greg
draft.
Greg Dulcich.
Yeah.
I kicked the tires on him.
I wouldn't mind that. He was thought of quite highly as receiving tight end coming out of college, but like you said, he just was never healthy.
Yep. The Jimmy Ward on the commissioner's exempt list, mentioned that a little bit earlier. I think that's doing the Texans a favor. Like, they don't have to make a determination on Jimmy Ward. I think it would have been pup with him anyways, but that's nice. Commissioner's exempt list, you know, the Texans don't really have to do anything in regards to that. Alexander's reporting that Watson's going to make the team too. Justin Watson. So the Texans keeping seven receivers for the second year in a row.
Yeah, they had already, guys were already, that cover the team were tweeting out that Berrios looked like he was going to make it, but I didn't think both of them would make it.
That might be a spot where if they add a corner, if they add a tight end, that Justin Watson's the guy that gets cut to make room for that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying for sure, but that kind of feels like a temporary placeholder until they make any other corresponding moves after the rest of the league gets cut down.
I'm a little disappointed in them that we haven't seen the transactions hit the emails yet. What are they waiting for?
Yeah, I was looking on NFL.com and they have up to the minute, but I don't know that they have the final Texans roster. But you would think that Minnesota, who was trying to get Thielen, you would think that there are some guys out there and they would that a Watson, at least short term, could be a guy, while Addison is out, would be a guy that they could consider as well as a guy like Renfro.
Maybe call up the Chargers. Already took one bum off our hands. They could take another.
That'd be breaking news.
Who?
The Chargers could take another bum off our hands if they want Justin Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call him up.
So Alexander says he's got 57 players right now that on his unofficial 53-man roster. He thinks that the Texans are going to cut, I mean, this is him predicting, Luke Lachey, Zach Thomas, Cornell Powell, Graham Mertz. I mean, I wouldn't think any of those guys make the team. Mertz to me, you don't need to carry. I don't think anybody's going to pick him up, and then you can put him on the practice squad.
Now, because they'll only have two quarterbacks on the roster, who's their emergency quarterback would be Mertz?
No, I think you have to carry the emergency third on your game day.
Oh, you do?
He has to be on your 53. Third has to be on the 53.
But I don't think he has to be on the game day 47, but he has to be on the 53?
Correct. Now, you could call up practice squad players. Is it up to four times? I think it's four. I'll have to look into that. I think it's four times, though. I think you can call up a practice squad player up to four times before you actually have to put him on the 53.
Okay.
So, but I don't think you would do that for Mertz. Like, you're not going to call him up and he's on the game day roster. I don't think the Texans would have an emergency third quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's
and I'm okay
looks
with
looks like
that.
That's the way they're planning for right now.
Like, I don't mind that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've always felt like, except for rare instances, like by the time you get to your third quarterback, you're screwed anyway.
How many times did the Texans carry a third quarterback last year? I don't remember them doing it at all.
Did they not keep Keenum as
he
the
third?
He
was hurt.
Oh, that's true. He was hurt.
Yeah, I don't think that they carried a third all year.
They might have done it the year before when Keenum was healthy.
They Keenum was on the 53. He wasn't on the game day roster. Was their emergency third. But that wasn't the case last year. They didn't keep a third last year. No. I mean, Braxton Berrios is your emergency quarterback. Who would be their emergency quarterback?
I don't know who. Yeah, who played a quarterback in high school?
Yeah, I was trying to think.
They'd probably just go a bunch of running back and just do Wildcat stuff.
Didn't they have a receiver in the
probably,
past?
It's probably Dare. What are we talking about? It's got to be Dare. Dare feels it everywhere. He's a kicker also.
Emergency third quarterback, Dare. He's your emergency third everything. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll be keeping our eye on things to see if the Houston Texans actually send out their transactions and see if we get to that. Texans all-time 53-man roster, though. In honor of cut-down day, the Texans all-time 53-man roster. It's a perfect list. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm sure all of you will agree. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.